Well, joining us today is Nathan Hubler. Hey, Nathan.
Hello.
And we have Marshall Younger as well.
Hi.
How are you both doing today?
Very busy. We've got a recording session coming up on Monday.
Yes, but we're nearly done with everything, so I'm feeling much more relieved today than I was a few days earlier.
Yeah, the 2 weeks before recording sessions, everything falls apart. It's kind of a tradition. It really does. Everything falls apart. Mm-hmm. We lose actors, we lose studios, we lose all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
but it's come together, so I think we're okay now.
It seemed to fall apart a couple of times on this session, but as of right now, everything seems to be back together.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, Sarah's here.
Hey.
Hey, Sarah.
I am alive and very, very excited to be here.
Well, we are too. This is our first interview using this method of technology here.
Isn't it fun?
It is fun.
And I'm sure the audience is having a really good time, too.
I'm sure they are. We have a lot of questions from them, so let's get to those, actually. Our first one comes from Connie's number one fan. She would like to know, when did you both start working with Adventures in Odyssey, and how did that come about?
All right, I'll start, because our stories are very different. I had never heard of Adventures in Odyssey. I don't know that I'd ever heard a radio drama in my life. But I was at school at Regent University in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And I wrote a radio drama for a class that I was taking. And after it was produced, the producer of the show sent it to Paul McCusker, who was then executive producer. And he was actually trying to get a job for himself. So then Paul McCusker had the unenviable task of having to call this guy and say, well, we're not really interested in the production, but who wrote the script? And so, they contacted me, and I, they asked me to write a couple freelance scripts, and I did, and then I came on staff a year later, in 1993.
Hmm. And, well, my story, some people might be familiar with at least part of my story from the website, but my story is very different in that I grew up as a fan of Odyssey. I was a fan since I was 8 years old, and I started a website about the show when I was at college. It's still there, Adventures in Odyssey Headquarters, and shortly after I created the website, some of the producers of the show, Marshall and Paul and Dave, some of the people started contacting me by email just to say, hey, nice website, just wanted to say hello, which, you know, is like George Lucas contacting a Star Wars fan. It was just incredibly cool for me. And I started using AOL Instant Messenger with Mark Drury, who was one of the sound designers, and he and I just talked about a lot of different things, movies and life and college and all these things. He said, why don't you come out here for an internship sometime? And I said, yeah, that'd be a great idea. And so I came out summer of 2000 as an intern for Odyssey. And then while I was here, I wrote my first script, which was The Triangle.
That is every Odyssey fan's dream. Would you like to come to an internship? Oh, no, I think I'll pass. Of course I would!
Well, several of our different webmasters and Odyssey fans have come for internships. So Shadow Paw was here, the guy who runs the soda fountain was here for an internship, and a couple other people who have been on the message boards have been here for internships.
Sarah, here's your chance. Here's your chance.
Hi.
Yeah, in case you didn't know, Sarah's been dying to join the Odyssey team through an internship or even acting, maybe.
Oh,
but,
gosh, Chris, stop. It's a really good thing we're not doing a summer webcam. It's a really, really good thing.
We'd be seeing a very red face, is that what you're saying?
I don't even blush, and yes, you would be. Oh my goodness. Okay, so moving on. I'll kill Chris later. Marshall, do you think your style of writing episodes has changed since you first started? And that's from H Tide.
It really has. I try to be more subtle now, especially with messages. You know, Whit used to come out and just really say what he was feeling, and he still does that to some extent, but I like to be a little more subtle with that. I tend to write quicker dialogue, quicker scenes. I just like the feel of just real quick scenes and people going back and forth. I think I also have learned not to try so hard to make a character sound like a character, because the actors do so much of that in the studio. I don't have to make Connie so much like Connie, because Katie will make it Connie. That's just something that I've learned, and I don't know if that's a different writing technique, but it's just something I've learned because, you know, we work with such talented people with Odyssey.
It's interesting how you mentioned your writing style has changed. You're a bit more to the point. And it reminds me of a recent podcast in which you actually mentioned something about Nathan being a long-winded writer.
Yes. Well, I wasn't always that way. I think it's been the influence of Paul McCusker since his scripts are always very long.
Excuses.
Well, Paul McCusker started writing radio theater, and there's no limit to what you can you can just write and write and write and write. So, and then he came back with Odyssey, and suddenly everything's so long.
I don't know that I usually have a tendency to write long scripts, though. I don't think that's been a pattern. Maybe it has been lately, but not in general.
And we're not talking 12 minutes long. We're talking maybe a 2-3 minutes long. Yeah.
Right. Although it was. The two-parter did turn into a three-parter, so it was like 20 minutes
long. Oh, that's true. Yeah. I forgot about that one.
It's all relative to the context of the episode anyways.
Right.
So,
I wanted to jump back to the triangle really quick.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
And just say that because somebody distracted us, that that was a pretty awesome effort for a first episode right there, Nathan. That's probably one of my favorites. So.
Well, thank you. The original inspiration for that show, well, as you know, was from the episode For Whom the Wedding Bells Toll, and Paul McCusker was the one who suggested taking that line that Jack says about Whit stealing his girlfriend away. Paul was the one who suggested turning that into an episode.
Rainy.
Did you want me to make other comments on the awesomeness of the episode? Or
No, I think it's good. I just wanted to say something on it before we jumped ahead, so... Yeah.
One of the questions I had for you, Nathan, was when did you first begin listening to Adventures in Odyssey?
See, I don't even remember the first show that I heard because Odyssey's been such a part of my life for so long, I can't really remember the time before Odyssey. I mean, there was obviously a time in my life before I started listening, but I can't really remember that. So I don't remember what my first show was. It was sometime in the first year. I remember hearing... Case of the Secret Room on the radio for the first time, so it was sometime before that, but sometime in 1988 is when I started.
1988, a very special year, very, very near and dear to my heart and my parents. Did you ever aspire to be a writer when you were younger? You mentioned designing and running your website, the AIO HQ, but prior to that, did you have any experience in writing or doing scripts at all?
Not really in doing scripts, at least not for anything professionally. I wrote some on my own, which were pretty terrible. But from a very early age, I always enjoyed writing. I never thought that at least writing for Odyssey was something that you could actually do for a job. It didn't even really click for me that that was something that you could actually make money for or that people actually did for a career. But I've always been interested in writing.
Kind of. Well, I wanted to comment, like, I hear you on the, you actually get paid for doing this? One of those kind of, when I listened since I was like 4 or 5, so growing up on this, it's one of those, I would do it for free, take me!
Well, I would do it for free too, but you eventually have to get some kind of job that makes money, so.
I don't mind getting paid for it either.
Nathan, how has you being an original fan of the show before you were on staff influenced how you write the episodes?
I think it's just influenced what my perspective is on the shows, is that I typically, for better or for worse, don't necessarily write from a kid's point of view as much as a fan of the show's point of view. And I think that because all of us on the team come from different perspectives, Marshall came from his background, Paul, Dave, all of us come from different backgrounds, that it really provides a lot of balance for the team. And so my first thought is always from a fan perspective, someone who's listened to the show for a long time and knows a lot of the episodes, and people who, you know, you guys on the website notice that I often put in little references to previous episodes in my shows, and that's definitely influenced by just growing up as a fan of the show.
I never get sometimes tired of those.
Sometimes I have to go back and kind of look at the script and take those out because they don't really work, or Marshall or Paul or Dave will make a comment that, you know, this doesn't really, maybe a fan out there would get this, but no one else would, so it probably needs to be taken out. So that's the great thing about, I'm going to say the same thing again, sorry. Let me end that a different way. So I don't want to give too much editing to you here, Chris, but...
Don't worry about it, I'm used to it.
But that's the great thing about having the team that we do.
I think that was a swipe at you, Sarah, that he had to do a lot of editing.
Oh, no, no,
I know. I just wasn't going to say anything. I was actually going to comment on, can you tell these guys work in radio?
Well, I'm used to the insults. When we work on the official podcast, I usually, like, if I don't like an answer I've given, I'll go back and edit it, because since I often edit them, I can change what I say.
He does that, too. And then he does it to make me look like an idiot or something. And he's only done it, like, twice because it, yeah, that's all I'll let him get away with. But I'll be, like, listening to something, and I'm like, hey, I don't remember this part. And he's like, oh, I had it done in later. And I was like, oh, okay.
It's called clarification, Sarah, so the fans know exactly what I'm saying.
Uh-huh. That's what you like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing.
Oh, sure.
I was going to tell you guys, feel free to insult me whenever you want to. I don't care. Everyone else does. You may as well join the club.
Oh, we won't insult you. We won't do that. We don't insult people here, except each other.
Not too much, anyways. Moving on. One of the most common types of questions we received was in regards to different characters, especially those we haven't heard from in a while, those such as Alex and Cal, the Barclays, Monica Stone was a popular name, Arthur Dent, Philip Glossman. What can you share about those characters?
Well, I'll give you some inside information here. We are currently working on an album, our 50th album, which has a little bit of that in it. It's sort of a reunion album of sorts. And so so you may be seeing some of these characters that you guys have wanted to come back.
Grocer Jenkins?
Oh, yeah.
The fans out there are going to be pleased?
We have a two-part Grocer Jenkins show. And
Not really.
Yeah, an Officer Burke show.
Yay!
That's a three-parter. Officer Burke and his
people are
his
going
family,
to the fan
background.
Club now.
No, we just have a lot of the old characters are going to be present in that particular album. So keep listening. It's going to air in the spring of 08, but the album is going to be number 50.
Why do we have Rodney Rathbun on this list? Is he gone and I just didn't notice?
Oh, he's been around. He's going to be around this fall, too.
Yeah, actually, yeah. He's going to be in October or something, yeah.
I know. I just wondered why he was in the list of characters that went bye-bye, because he definitely has it, unless I've definitely missed something in the last 2 months.
Wait,
so
you know how the fans think. I mean, if they're gone for 2 episodes, 3 episodes, we think they're gone. I mean,
have they gone into the dark tunnel and they're never coming back again?
I think someone's in love with Rodney Rathbone.
There are definitely several characters on this list of characters who are going to be returning in Album 50.
Awesome. Okay, let's see. Next question. This one comes from Candy Jakes. Little reference
Candy
to
Jakes.
Little reference that Marshall might be familiar with.
Candy in my heart, Candy Jakes.
She asked, was Connie's book really erased? And this was in reference to The Chosen One.
Yes.
All right.
Yes?
But
yes?
That is not the end of the Connie book storyline. There's more to come with that, but her book was definitely still erased.
Yes.
What about, like, recovery programs? Come on, people.
No, Kelly was very, very...
She's technologically...
Yeah, she knows what she's doing. She got rid of all that stuff. I mean, she just blew that thing away.
Yeah, in the whole 20 seconds she had to do it. Uh-huh.
Well, you know.
She knows a lot about computers.
Connie has a Mac, too, so it's a lot easier to erase files.
That's true.
At the end of the episode Exit, the chairman of Novacom said it's over for now. So, do you have any plans in making any more episodes with Novacom?
Not currently. We have no plans. We wanted a little bit of time to get away from that kind of show, the intrigue, the mystery, the where we had a huge story arc with that. We might go back to that at some point. But we wanted to take a few albums off. We have no plans for the chairman at this point, but who knows?
Will we ever find out who he is? That's from me. I finally came up with my own question.
That's definitely up for grabs in the future, but don't be expecting it in the next year or so.
Okay. D Sheets wants to know, are you working on any more Bible shows?
We don't have a show this fall that's going to be a dedicated Bible story, just the whole thing is a Bible story, but we do have a BTV coming up this fall, BTV Temptation, and that'll have several Bible stories in it, including the story of Solomon. So that's one thing you can look forward to.
Written by our own Nathan Hubler?
Yes.
Will there be more Tales of History from the Imagination Station?
There is a show about Christian history called Something Significant, which is going to air in November, something like that.
I'm looking at the schedule now. maybe the end of October.
End of October, October 27th, something around in there. Which is, what can I give them on this?
We'll see several different stories from Christian history,
yeah,
from several different eras, including something that might be more significant than you think. Okay. That's for vague there.
Wow.
Actually, we could say that for every episode.
So I think so, yeah.
Significant in it.
Okay, here's one that I came up with, actually. What has it been like writing about... what is that?
That's an interesting question.
Right? But the answer is...
Chris, I'm sorry, Chris.
Let me rephrase that question. what has it been like writing about more serious and current issues, such as abuse, adoption, which we've heard from in The Chosen One again, and more in particular, the divorce, which we've heard a lot of in the Mandy saga?
Well, the adoption story obviously is very close to my heart because we just did foster care for a couple of years, and then we ended up adopting a son through that. And it really has painted my writing a lot, just going through this experience. And I think it's important, and right now Focus is trying to really push Christians taking in orphans and going into foster care, and I just think that's so important that Christians, you know, get involved in that. And then what was the other thing you said? Oh, it was
the Mandy story.
The Mandy story, right? And divorce too. I mean, we just get so many letters from kids from broken homes, and we've actually had some people on our team who've gone through broken homes. And I'm sure that their writing has, you know, painted a picture of that too.
It's always a question on shows like that: will the benefit be worth the risk that you take? Because when you do a show, when you do a series of shows about divorce or abuse or any topic like that, it's always pretty risky because you don't want to scare people, and you don't want it to seem like there's no redemption. And we had resisted doing a show about divorce for a long time.
Yes.
And we decided that it was worth doing at this point if we could make each show have a positive, solid message at the end of it.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, it's always difficult touching upon those sensitive issues. And you certainly face that with Pamela Has a Problem, for instance. And that eventually led to the episode being dropped from the album entirely.
We were told to do that show. And I think we had resisted it for a long time. Did the show and then decided that... we didn't necessarily want to be the people talking to kids about abortion, that we should leave that to the parents.
We didn't want to be the place that kids would hear about abortion,
yes,
for the first time. Whereas with something like divorce, that's obviously, kids have heard about that. But
experiencing it.
And maybe experiencing it. Whereas with Pamela Has a Problem, they might not have actually even heard about the topic of abortion. And we wanted parents to be the first ones to talk to the kids about that.
Right. Slightly different issue there. But, I mean, definitely with the topic of divorce, that was briefly touched upon in the Barkley episode, I believe, where Donna and Jimmy believe their parents are getting divorced. And the message in that episode was less about divorce and how to deal with it. Rather, the emphasis was more on the importance of the marriage vow. I think it was really neat how you guys went back to this issue of divorce through Mandy's character and approached it from a way that was both realistic in its harsh nature, but also one that was sensitive to the listener and God-centered, ultimately. So that was cool.
Well, we've gotten some concerned parents about this particular story arc with Mandy, but we thought it was worth, you know, getting some criticism about it.
Absolutely. I mean, in the church right now, the divorce rate's higher in the church than it is outside the church. So there's a lot of our kids are going to be going through this. And I know for me, hearing stuff that's relevant to my life, especially for, like, coming from Odyssey, which, yes, it does happen on a very regular occurrence, which is kind of scary. It's really good because it reminds me that I'm not alone in what I'm going through.
Yeah. That's good.
All right. H-Tide asks, overall, what did you think of this past spring season? I think it was the first and only time you aired 11 episodes in a single season rather than the usual 12.
Yeah, we just got lazy. We just couldn't come up with a 12th show. We said, I don't really feel like doing a 12th show.
Well, there was, I don't know if this is that interesting, but the show that's going to air this fall as the season opener was originally the season closer of this season, and through a long kind of series of events, we decided to delay that show, and because we delayed that show, it affected the schedule, some of the other shows that were going to air, and so we ended up it was really only 11 shows that fit with the storylines that we had, and so we decided we have this one show left over, BTV Redeeming the Season, that's never been in an album, so we decided to put that in. So hopefully it's seen as a bonus and not just us being lazy.
Even though that's really what it was.
But if you're asking us what we thought about the season, then I loved it.
It had a lot of your shows in it.
A little bit of bias there.
No, but I thought it was a good season.
Did you guys have Dixie Cups, by the way?
Well, we haven't had the Dixie Cups yet.
Oh,
Corey,
okay.
Corey and I are being lazy on that.
Because I have my vote on the spring season.
So we're looking at the spring schedule here.
Anyway, okay.
Oh, well, Candy Jakes wants to know if Connie will ever go anywhere in life.
Well, it's tough to go very far with her because otherwise then Connie's not Connie anymore. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to get her married and have a career and stuff? I mean, that'd be boring. Or is she not going to work at Wits End anymore? What's up with that? Connie's got to be Connie.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you should do something about her, like, you know, where Paul talks about some God to some people to be single. Just use that as an answer anytime someone asks if Connie's going to get married.
No, I like her just being not being able to find a boyfriend. That makes it more pathetic. I like that.
Okay, then.
Okay. H-Tide, the question. She asks, what inspired the whole Leonard Meltzer story arc?
We had, when Eugene came back in album 44, we didn't have a lot for him to do aside from what happened in Eugene Returns, which was he came back and we had the wedding show. And so once he came back, we wanted to come up with a storyline for him, or several storylines that would last a while. And one of the things that we had talked about years ago was introducing a storyline with Eugene's father. And so right around the time that we were bringing Eugene back, we started working on a storyline that would involve him searching for his father. So that it just kind of coming up with story ideas or a story arc for Eugene is where that show came from.
Well, it was just like the triangle with that one line about he stole my girlfriend. Well, we got this thing hanging in the show Last a Long Line about
what happened to Eugene's father.
Right. So.
Interesting. You know, after the second part of The Top Floor, in which we discover that Everett is Leonard's son and Eugene's brother, there were mixed feelings amongst the fans over whether or not you guys should have written Everett into the script in the first place. I know there were at least a handful of fans who were somewhat disgruntled over the quote-unquote resurrection of both Leonard and Everett. So talk a bit about why you decided to introduce Everett into the picture. And as a follow-up to that question, did you know you were going to bring him in from the beginning of the Leonard Meltzer mini arc, or did that idea come in later?
We had talked about Everett from fairly early on. We had actually planned that, I think from, if not the beginning, very early on, when Eugene sees Everett's tombstone in the cemetery. At long before that point, we had planned to bring Everett into the story. So it was not a last minute addition to the script, but it was something that we thought would add another dimension to not only Leonard's character, having this son who was taken from him, but also to Dalton's character, that he wasn't just this, he was an evil person, he was a bad guy, but he also had this human side to him, kind of a twisted human side to him.
Almost a good father.
Yeah, yeah, that he actually did love Everett, and so it added more dimension to the villain character. We've had so many shows on Odyssey, we're always trying to come up with something different. You know, if you introduce a villain, there has to be something interesting about him, and so having the Everett angle to Dalton gave him a different dimension.
I'm just glad he wasn't a last-minute add-on. You didn't create him just so you could have a Star Wars moment. You know, one of those I'm your father moments.
We resisted doing that line. Doing that exact line. I mean, we could have had Everett say, no!
Oh, you got pretty close, though. So I'm sure some people caught on to that. But anyways.
I'm not even going to try and say this username. Because I think I'm going to butcher it. So, are Everett and Leonard going to live in Odyssey, and is Everett going to attend Odyssey Middle School?
Well, you can listen the very first three episodes, the first three-parter, September 15th, 22nd, and 29th, and there will be an answer to that question. It is a show called A New Era.
We will find out the future of Leonard and Everett. What's going to happen with them?
Oh, now that the Gene finding his father storyline is almost finished, are there any other big story arcs coming up?
Well, this fall, actually, which is all the episodes that are in album 49 air this fall, and many of the storylines that we've started over the last few years are going to be tied up this fall. We're going to hear more from Mandy and her parents. We're going to hear more from Leonard. We're going to hear more about Grady. There are just going to be a lot of storylines that are tied up this fall. And then also in the album that we're working on right now, album 50, there's going to be kind of a story arc over the whole album. Sort of
like Darkness Before Dawn, in the sense that it's self-contained in story arcs, but it's not like the intrigue mystery kind of thing necessarily.
Right.
There's some intrigue in it, but there's one story arc that unites all 12 episodes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
In album 50.
Cool. Joanna says, first of all, you guys are doing a great job with the show. Keep up the great work. Do you plan on letting Eugene and Katrina become parents? I can just imagine Eugene during Katrina's pregnancy. The poor girl would be parked in a chair at wit's end, drowning her stress in one milkshake or float after the next to cope with her husband's quoting baby books verbatim. Blessings.
I think she needs to write the show. If they're going to become parents, it sounds like she's already got it figured out. I think that's inevitable for the future. There are no current plans for them becoming parents. But, you know, everybody's right. I mean, it would be hilarious to see them have a baby, and especially with Eugenia. it would be hilarious seeing them have a baby.
I think one thing we always have to consider on the show is whenever we introduce a new element, we have to think, okay, how is this going to play out for the future? Because Odyssey is going on for years and years, and if we give Eugene and Katrina, if we make them parents, then we really have to make that part of the story of the show. We can't have Katrina have a baby and then never see her or the baby again. So we have to really think, okay, is this something that we want for the foreseeable future? There are several plot elements, people have noticed them, like the Timothy Center, that we don't really use a lot. It was an idea that was introduced, that was a good idea, but we just haven't done that much with, and that can be disappointing if you introduce something and then don't actually use it.
And that also changes their place in Odyssey in terms of the storylines you use, because as a family, you're going to have different plot lines for those particular characters, such as the Washingtons, or way back when the Barclays are around, the Mulligans, the Shepherds. Whereas with Eugene and Katrina, as a couple, they're going to be involved in different types of episodes.
Yeah. And I think also, if you guys, before you go about giving them children, I think we need to hear a little bit more from Katrina first.
We'll be hearing from Katrina quite a bit in the first three shows of the season, so we
can, right.
Get to explore a bit more of what they're like as a married couple.
Good.
Everything's happening in those first three shows of the season.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
The first three, and then we don't have to hear the rest of them, right? Is that what's going on?
Well, the rest are
the
all
rest
very
of them
good
are
too.
Huge, yes. The fall season is huge as far as story arcs and characters. And yeah, you need to see it. You need to hear it.
Don't see it, miss huh? a single week.
Hackber asks, how come Mandy and Liz are around Trent instead of Jared, Dwight?
Well, we've kind of had to graduate Jared out of the show a little bit because his voice no longer matches his character. I mean, he was the conspiracy theorist kid, and so it made sense when he was little. But now, you know, he sounds like he's 25 years old, the actor. And so we're not really using him that much anymore.
I think it might seem strange as a kid to have kids who are a few years older hanging out with a younger kid, but I think that happens. You know, you have friends who are younger than you and older than you, so I don't think it's that unusual for Mandy and Liz to hang around someone who's a few years younger.
No, but it is a little bit weird to have them hang out with the older brother than suddenly hang out with the younger brother who is supposedly...
I think it happens.
But on that note, though, Corey Padnos, the actor voicing Trent, his voice has changed already.
Although we can get away with it with Trent a little bit more because Trent's character is a little more mature.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Connie's number one fan, and so does Sarah, wants to know, when do we get to hear about Trent and Mandy getting together?
Oh.
Well, actually, we just finished a script. Actually, we probably have a few more tweaks on it as soon as we finish this recording. We just finished a script where we're going to hear a lot more about that.
Ooh!
That will air.
That's going to be an album 50 next spring.
Yep, we're recording it next week.
I'm happy.
Also a show that has Edwin and Shakespeare in it, so we're going to hear from them again.
Yay!
Wow.
You fans are just such the Cupids. You want everybody getting together.
No, I don't. I hate it.
Well, that is the questions that we get all the time are, when are Connie and Mitch getting married? When is, I mean, for a long time, of course, it was, when are Eugene and Katrina getting married? Or when is Brian Dern?
When is Tasha coming back?
People just,
we want Tasha to become a Christian so she can get together with Jason. Like, that's the only reason to become a Christian.
No. Jason must stay single forever.
Oh, okay.
Because if Jason gets married, there's going to be a lot of fangirls who are just going to be too disappointed and won't listen anymore. I'm not one of them, I promise.
We won't tell you what age Townsend Coleman is.
I already know. He's in his, isn't he like 50-something?
He,
I don't think he's that old. He has a grandfather, that's right.
Okay, no, that's scary. I don't want to think about that.
Let's see. Okay, Terrell asks, how is the death of Walker Edmonston going to affect Odyssey? And as a side question, Rodney Rathbone would like to know, will Tom and Bart die or leave Odyssey?
Well, we are currently trying to figure that out ourselves. We've been looking at possibilities of replacing the voice, not using the character of Tom anymore. We've even talked about possibly having Tom die in the context of the show, the character of Tom. And we haven't made any real definite decisions. We have, I will tell you, we have come up with a replacement voice for Bart, which we're using in at least one show, at least two shows, mm-hmm. I guess. I'm trying to figure out exactly
what we should reveal.
Yeah,
here.
Because
well, we would kind of treat it like a test, like Search for Wit, and we'll see how it works out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a ways in the future. This fall, we actually won't hear from Tom or Bart, but this spring, is probably when we'll make some more decisions on that. Not only with Walker's characters, but Walker was, as we talked about on the official podcast, Walker was really a part of the family with Odyssey, and so it's definitely going to leave a hole there. Even if we might find someone who could replace the voice, it's still going to be, it'll be a different feel to things without Walker there, because he's been there pretty much since the show started. So it was a very sad time for us after he passed away.
Yeah, Walker and Chris Anthony are the actors we've had the longest.
Mm-hmm.
I know this has been, I don't think it's in the questions, but this has been mentioned on the boards a lot, and it's been a question I've had. I know a lot of the actors are actually getting up there in age. A lot of them are quite old, with all due respect. Are you guys looking ahead and making plans in case something happens to somebody else, or are you guys not thinking about that, or is that like on the radar?
That's always sort of in the back of our minds. We are going to reevaluate that after album 50 and see, you know, what kind of changes we need to prepare for, and we'll do that.
It's kind of a tough thing to talk about because none of us want to really talk about it, yeah. But we have to.
Definitely.
It's something that we have to do, just say, okay, what is this show going to be like 10 years from now? And so after album 50, we're going to be going into a period where we're going to try and plan for far out into the future, not just for the next album, but for the foreseeable future for Odyssey and how that's going to look.
Interesting, yeah. You want to figure out which characters you want to retain. And also that you have to consider the actors or actresses playing those characters too, and will they be available? What are their interests in the future as well?
Exactly.
Something that I've wondered for a very long time, and I know it's been talked about again on the boards, do you guys know, or is it even on the radar, are if the actors that you guys use, especially for like the main characters, are they believers? Is that a requirement to work on the show? Is that just like, is it not talked about? Do you guys,
It's not a requirement. We consider what we do a ministry to them as well as to the people that are listening. It's impossible to avoid the question of Christianity when you're in the studio with these people, and also, you know, when we go out to dinner with them and have lunch together, it will come up, and so we have been able to gauge some of their, you know, where they are spiritually, that's something to pray for, because honestly there are some that are not Christians. And there are plenty that are, but there are some that are not. And so that's something to pray for, and that's something that we take very seriously, that we need to, you know, to minister to them.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody become a believer since working on the show, do you know?
I don't know of any stories like that. I do know of stories of actors, I won't get into the details, but I do know of stories of actors who were really touched by being on the show, or were touched by different moments on the show, actors who might not be Christians who were touched by some of the content of the show. But we don't know of any stories of actors who have become Christians. We know of listeners, certainly, who have accepted Christ because of the show, but we don't have any stories of actors.
Well, that's something to pray for then.
Definitely.
All right, thank you.
All right, moving on. Seventude would like to know, do you ever run out of plot lines?
All the
and
time.
We
run out of plot lines all the time. Right now we have no plot lines. We're done with this session, and so we're out of plot lines. We're stuck on zero. What are we going to do?
Well, that's great, because she would also like to know, if we as listeners have plot ideas, where can we send them? And do you accept story suggestions?
Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80995.
Well, I think I can answer that just by saying we do read all the letters that come in, and so we read story ideas from there, and we often are inspired by those stories, maybe not even by the specific story idea, but just by the kinds of stories that people are asking for or talking about. Yeah. Sadly, we can't accept scripts from people. It won't get into the real long explanation, but it's basically because of legal reasons we can't accept script submissions. But we definitely can. We read the letters that people send in. So if you have a story idea, or if you have something that you want to happen with one of the characters, definitely send it in.
Cool.
Okay, ITAC would appreciate it if you guys would be willing to discuss the similarities and differences between writing and directing. Which is harder and which is easier and why? And which do you enjoy more and why?
Well, they're both hard. Mm-hmm. Directing obviously only takes, you know, 4 hours per show, but writing takes, you know, tons of hours per show. And so I think directing is probably easier in that respect. What I enjoy more is I really do enjoy directing a lot, just because you get to hear your words come to life. And when you're working with talented people like we are, it's just amazing seeing, you know, the words on the page, and you never expected it to sound that good. And it consistently does.
Mm-hmm. As far as harder or easier, I don't think either one is easy or harder than the other one. I think directing can be more fun because you get to see your words come to life. But there's also a fun part of writing that when you really get into a story, there's something very exciting about revising that story and really working on it and shaping it. I enjoy writing more as we get into the second or third drafts, because that's the point when you're polishing it and when it's looking more like the final script. To me, the hardest part of my job by far is writing a first draft. Just looking at those blank pages and saying, I've got to get 30 or 40 pages out of this thing. That's always very hard for me.
Kind of reminds me of the episode Around the Block when Connie had to type out 300 or so words per day.
As far as easier or harder, that was a very easy episode to write because it was about writer's block. And so it's very easy for writers to write about writer's block. At least it was for me.
Very relevant.
Well, speaking of episodes, Agent Paul would like to know how long it takes to create one, starting with the initial ideas, writing the script, and then finally recording and producing the final product.
Well, that varies so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, we're doing album 50 now. We came up with an outline for that, a basic outline, months ago.
I think we started talking about it last fall of 2006, and then we outlined it in January of 2007, and we revised the outline a lot. And now we're working on the scripts, which we'll record next week and also in September. And then the show will air in like March through May of 2008. So it's been almost 2 years since we started talking about this thing from start to finish.
Now the stories. Now that's a specific album. That's album 50, because we had an idea about what we wanted to do for all 12 episodes. But sometimes when it's just an individual show, a one-off show, you know, it probably takes a couple of months, mm-hmm, to go from start to recording it. Mm-hmm. Nathan and I just co-wrote a show that we had an outline, and we finished it, the first draft, in about 2 days.
Very quickly, yeah.
And then we finished the next draft in about a day.
Mm-hmm. We were holding off just because of some just issues with casting and recording. And when we finally got to writing it, we had to write it very quickly. But I think it came together pretty well. I think it's going to be a good show.
Yeah.
All right. Bennett wants to know, is the show purposely targeting a younger audience compared to before? Like, in other words, is it knowingly dumbing it down, like with the changes in dialogue and the amount of silliness and the changes in music and stuff like that?
You know, this question comes up a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm ignorant or what, but I fail to see so much difference between the old shows and the new shows. Mm-hmm. I think there's some differences in pacing. And there's differences sort of in style, in trying to get theme across and that kind of thing. But other than that, you know, there were plenty of scary episodes back then. There are plenty of scary episodes now. It doesn't feel like it's been dumbed down to me at all. It feels like we're kind of operating on the same level intelligence-wise. And yet we get all these letters saying, why aren't you doing it like you used to? Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing about that, though, when we get those letters, is that we never know where they're coming from.
Right.
Because people listen on the dailies, and they come in wherever they are, and they say stuff like, you know, they'll say stuff like, I don't like this new family, the Barclays. Why'd you come up with them?
Where'd the Washingtons go?
Yeah, exactly. Those kinds of, so we never know exactly what they mean by the show's not what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also, I mean, when we're talking about fans like you guys, I think there's a tendency to love the old stuff, just like everybody loves the old Beatles. Mm. And everybody thinks that the first Die Hard was better than the second, third, or fourth. those kinds of things. And I think there's a natural tendency to do that. I'm not saying that what we're doing is better than what we did before, or even equal to it. But I think there's a natural bias.
I think there's a tendency with any series, not just Odyssey, but with any, like you were mentioning, the Beatles or whatever, just because the original was the original, it was the beginning, it was when the idea first started, that there's kind of a warm place in your heart for where it began. And I think that's true without, it's certainly true in my mind, is that I think of the shows from the beginning in a very different way because I heard them when I was 9 and 10 years old. And so, yeah. You know, I have a lot different feelings about those shows than I do about ones that I heard when I was in college, or certainly ones when I was working on the show. And so I think the show has changed in some ways, certainly, as Marshall mentioned, pacing or characters or different storylines that we do. But I think when you look at the show as a whole, when you compare just a sampling of shows from the early years to a sampling of shows from the later years, I don't think there's that huge of a difference.
I thought it was interesting listening, because I do go to the message boards every now and then, especially after a new show has aired,
yeah.
and I just want to see, you know, what the general reaction was. And there was some that just shocked me. Like, for instance, Hear Me, Hear Me, which was on February 17th. I really thought that was going to be a fan favorite. I thought it was funny. I thought Wooten was at his best, and there was Connie and Eugene, and it was sort of going back to the old Connie and Eugene, where they're kind of bickering and that.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that would be a fan favorite, and then it came in, and I don't know that it was very well reviewed.
I think there were some people liked it and some people didn't.
Well, do you remember the people on the boards? Don't speak for the entire Odyssey population.
Yeah, we recognize that. We recognize it, and we don't you know, take anything personally.
Oh no, certainly not.
But
except that comment about my hair, you know, I took that personally. But other than that.
I'm the one that wrote in on that. I want that.
No. But I would say that we don't discount when people say they preferred the old shows to the new. I mean, we wouldn't say, well, you're wrong.
Right, right.
Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And if you like the style of the older shows, that's fine. You know, we don't say that, you know, that's incorrect, that the new shows now are better. We certainly wouldn't presume to say that because... different people prefer different things, and we just try to write the show the best that we can at the time that we're doing it. And if people like different eras of the show, if they like the show better now, if they like the show better back in the 90s or even the 80s, then that's fine. And we just try and do our best and keep the same feel of the show, keep it true to its roots, but if we didn't try new things, then Odyssey would have stopped a long time ago.
That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why I know that the split episodes were not real popular with people on the message board. But I'm glad that we did it, even though I don't know that they were real successful in doing what they were aimed to do, what they were aiming to do. But I'm glad that we did it just because. It was an experiment, and you know, every now and then you need to change things up.
Mm-hmm.
And if we didn't, yeah, Nathan's right. We wouldn't be on the air.
Well, going back to what Nathan said about listening to the shows, earlier shows when you were 9 or 10, like when I started listening back in 1995, 1996, you know, I was only 8, 7 or 8, and you know, when you listen to those original episodes, you're looking through them through not rose-colored glasses, but through the eyes of a child. And Sarah and I talked about this in one of our earlier podcasts about just learning to listen to these episodes through that innocent, non-biased perspective. And I think nowadays, especially us older listeners, those of us who are in our college years or even older, we've experienced different things in our lives, and so we're not viewing these episodes no longer as through those childlike eyes. And I think one fan posted something like. It was like when Whit made the comment about Jimmy Barkley, and he said Christopher Robin has left Pooh Corner, and it's kind of like that I find for some fans, and it's like they no longer view things through the eyes of a child, and perhaps that's one of the reasons why they don't enjoy the newer episodes as much as they appreciate the older ones.
Well, I think that you can look at shows different ways, and as you're saying, when you're a kid, you don't necessarily look at the show from a critical point of view. And when you're older, you start to... I mean, we do it as a team when we talk about TV shows. We'll often look at those at a critical point of view and say, well, we didn't really like this or we did like this. And I think that's just a function of being part of a series for a long period of time, when you have such a history with a show, you often tend to look at it from a critical point of view and say, well, I would have improved this or I would have fixed this, which there's nothing wrong with that, but it does bring a different dimension to how you listen to the show.
Going back a little bit to what Nathan said and Chris touched on too, is like, I think like the type of episode, like the era that you like the best, depends a lot on like when you first started listening to it. Because you'll have younger listeners who didn't start listening to all the split episodes, and they love them. And they still do to this day, because that's what they heard first. And so sure. I don't think, and like, for me, I started listening, I think when I was like 5, so that would have been, what, 91? And to this day, like, if I hear, like, stuff that came out later, I love it, like, I love everything. But if you put a scary episode on now, it doesn't bother me at all, like, because I'm an adult. But if I start listening to Castles and Cauldrons or, like, The Mysterious Stranger or even A Secret Room, those are episodes that I heard when I was really little. And they still scare me to this day, even though they do. I don't listen to those ones at night. I don't listen to them if I know I'm going to be in a weird situation. I don't know why that is, but I think it's like the way, I think like there's so many memories attached to them, and how you, I think that's why people are so critical of the newer episodes, because they don't have the memories to attach, if that makes sense.
No, I think you're onto something there, Sarah. But I think we would say, just to kind of cap this off, is that we aren't against people looking at the shows from a critical point of view.
Yeah, I think absolutely not.
Definitely not.
Oh, for sure.
I think that can really help our writing, is that when we look and say, well, yeah, that is something we can improve.
Uh-huh.
And there are things that we've read from fans or in letters, or when we talk to people, that they say, well, what about this? And we'll say, yeah, that is something we've been missing lately, and that's something we should address. So we appreciate all the opinions. We're not against reading negative reviews of the show.
Great. Well, that was a great long answer. Good discussion there on that question. Thank you. Oh, thank you,
that
Bennett.
That was a very long answer.
Isn't Chris just very tactful?
So long.
Chris is just full of so much tact.